Welcome to episode 136 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. I am your host, Jack Rico, and if this is your first time listening, this is a Latinx pop culture show where I talk with actors, musicians, thought leaders, and journalists about how Latinx culture is influencing mainstream entertainment. Well, on this week's episode, I talked to actor, singer, producer Jaime Camil about his new bilingual movie, Píldoras de mi Novio. It's out in theaters right now. We got a chance to discuss the growing trend of bilingual and bicultural movies, his thoughts on why Jane the Virgin was successful with white audiences, and if we reached the turning point in Hollywood viewing Hispanic actors as legitimate stars. One thing you should know, by the way, is that Jaime thought I was a white journalist because of my American accent and was defensive about my line of questioning on his cultural transition from Spanish language work to English language work. Things got a bit testy at one point where I had to stress that I was a Latino and not a white American. Go ahead and give it a listen. But before I talk to Jaime Camil, it's time I give you my weekly pop culture news recap in a segment I like to call Jacked In. Let's begin with the top movie news of the week. Jurassic World 3 will be called Jurassic World Dominion. Film and stage actor Anthony Ramos will join Marvelous Mrs. Maisel's Rachel Brosnahan in the upcoming comedic sci-fi film Distant. Chris Evans in early talks to co-star in Little Shop of Horrors from Warner Brothers. And Best Picture Oscar winner Parasite will be going to Hulu April 8th. In TV news, Spanish language network Univision has been sold to an investment firm and another white man will become its new CEO. Macaulay Culkin will join the new season of American Horror Story. Actress Krista Rodriguez to play Liza Minnelli in new Netflix series Halston. Castle Rock's Ruby Cruz has been cast as one of the leads in the CW's TV remake of the film The Lost Boys, and Disney has a new CEO. Switching over to music, Bad Bunny and Zek perform in Spanish on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. J Balvin has plans to become the first reggaeton billionaire. The Jennifer Lopez and Shakira Super Bowl halftime drew more than 1,000 FCC complaints for being too sexy. And multicultural podcast network Revolver has signed a partnership deal with iHeartRadio. And in tech and social media news, Latinx digital media company MeToo has been bought by Go Digital Media Group. Spotify has dethroned Pandora as the most popular music streaming service in the US. Apple is reportedly releasing a new iPad Pro later this year, and Instagram adds direct messaging on Windows 10.
I can tell you're coming from a waterbed. May I suggest something?
Do you even work here?
I'm the owner.
I met someone, se llama Hank. Es como si un rayo me hubiera partido en dos.
It is remarkable that someone has achieved this level of success with meds.
Jaime Camil, welcome to the Highly Relevant Podcast.
Oh my God, I love the Highly Relevant Podcast. I'm kidding, I've never heard it, but the name's amazing. I'm digging the name.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Well, and I'm appreciating this film. It's a bilingual film, right? Las Píldoras de mi Novio, My Boyfriend's Meds.
Las Píldoras de mi Novio, pero es importante. People should know that the My Boyfriend's Meds is not in the poster. So if you don't speak Spanish, just look for the poster that will read to you Las Píldoras de mi Novio. and then you'll be in the right theater.
That is hilarious. So you're promoting a new movie, which you are an executive producer to. You also co-star in it with Sandra Echeverria.
Correct.
And this seems to be like a bilingual film that's not specifically made for Spanish language audiences, but for bilingual audiences. Tell me about your character. Tell me about the premise of the film. And then if you can tell me about your behind the scenes role of how this whole thing came together.
Of course, man. Well, first of all, that's how we live life. Us immigrants living in this country, when we talk to our Latino friends, we just speak in English. I mean, Spanish. And then we turn to our coworkers or our gabachos friends, mm-hmm. and we speak to them in English in the most organic and natural way, which is exactly what we want to do in the film, right? So it's not like, oh, we are strategically speaking in English and Spanish because we want to target both markets. No, it's just how life works for us immigrants living in this country. That's how we roll, basically. The movie was written by Randy Mayhem Singer and Gary Marks, who wrote Mrs. Doubtfire. So, of course, the backbone of the story is super solid, and it's a very well-written story. And then we invited Diego Kaplan, the Argentinian director, who directed Dos Más Dos, a very funny movie and very successful in Argentina. And then we were very privileged to have like a dream cast. We have Brian Baumgartner, Jason Alexander, Brooke Shields, James Maslow on the US side, and on the Latino side, we have obviously Sandra Echeverria, and then we have Daniel Tovar, Pamela Almanza, Juan Soler. So we were very lucky to have this amazing, amazing cast with us. And, you know, being the producer, I think I've always produced my projects, but now I'm finally getting the official credit in the movie, because, you know, you're always trying to fix things. And you know, I have a lot of friends in the business, and I'm always trying to like help get the project done or negotiate the contract. And I have never received the official title, but now I've decided, because I do invest myself a lot in the as a producer, to have the official title.
I understand that this is a project for you that seems to be very close to you, something that you wanted to be involved in and invest and commit to. How did this project come in? Did it come to you as an actor first, or was it an idea that you kind of just came up with friends over dinner and says, let's do a movie like this? How does it work?
So the script was there. It was in English. It was an English script, and I loved it. I had the script for over maybe 4 years now, and I've always wanted to do it, but I didn't have the time because Jane the Virgin was, you know, was very consuming. So I couldn't find the time to do it. And finally, you know, Pantaleon Films and my producing partners, which is Ben Silverman and Jay Weisler, we finally saw an opening in the agenda, and we went for it, and we finally did it. And you know, it was amazing. Thank God all the pieces of the puzzle came together very organically, and we finally shot it like a little over a year ago. And now finally we're promoting the premiere of the film, which will be February 21st all across the US.
I don't see movies like this commonly placed in theaters. These types of movies are either esoteric, they're either specialized Correct. Movies. And the only real time I've seen movies like this is when Eugenio Derbez has done it. And he's had a lot of success from that. Is this a new trend coming out of Eugenio Derbez opening the gates for these types of films to see white American stars and Latino top stars come together in a single movie to be able to kind of almost create a universal film?
Yeah, well, I think that la maquila, how do you say that? The manufacturing of the la manufactura de la película. It's very international. You know, the situational comedy is a type of comedy that everybody gets, no matter if you're from Turkey, Mexico, or the US, it doesn't matter. Like I believe you get good comedy regardless of the language, if it's well done and well written. So yeah, but Eugenio Derbez, without a doubt, kicked the door open for us and for this type of films. And also Pantaleon, and also Omar Chaparro. You know, Omar Chaparro is doing the same thing. And we are backed up by a great studio, Pantaleon mm-hmm. Films, who really understands this concept and this format of films. So thank God we have a lot of support, and this type of films are becoming very trendy.
Now, why do you think that this concept of a film exists in cinema but not in television? Telemundo and Univision do not do bilingual projects. And if you...
Oh, because it's not their market. Those companies cater only to the US Hispanics. They don't cater to the mainstream market. And sometimes they will have a character, let's say like a cop or an FBI agent, you know, helping investigate the murder of the novela or mm-hmm. La Villana or whatever. And,
right.
And so once in a while. But I believe it's because those networks are they know exactly what is their market. And I think they are very aware that they only cater to the U.S. Hispanic market.
I remember you from back in 2001 when you were a singer and you had your first album.
Wow.
And I've seen you mostly in my life that I remember watching and being aware of television uh-huh. and music is you being a pop star actor in the Spanish language market. When
Correct.
You crossed over and in Jane the Virgin, and specifically, it's kind of when you kind of came into the mainstream consciousness of America. How did that change you? Was that a very surreal moment for you? Did you feel uncomfortable dealing with people that don't speak your language? think differently from where you grew up in Mexico, and has a whole different vibe. The belonging factor, was that difficult for you to assimilate to a culture of people that are pretty much a tight-knit clique?
Yeah. No, no problem. I adjust very easily to the environment. I really, really adapt. To me, it wasn't new. I didn't feel like a fish out of water. Because I love doing films and I love doing television, and no matter in which part of the world I'm doing that, I'm always going to be happy because that's my profession. That's my craft. I love doing that. I think the only difference between Mexico and the US is the budget. But you know, the lingo, the cameras, the lights, the terminology, you know, we're the same. It's the same in every single movie set or every single TV set. At least my personality, I adapt very easily into whichever situation I'm thrown into. Perhaps some of my colleagues might find it a little bit more challenging or whatever, but my personality, I don't. I adapt very easily.
Recently in the Super Bowl halftime, there was a country singer that made a comment about Shakira where he goes, you know, I'm going to have to get a translator because I don't know what Shakira's saying in Spanish. She should really say it in English. He ended up getting a big backlash from it, which...
You would think people are a bit more intelligent, right?
Yeah, especially when they're music stars.
Exactly. But then again, if someone, you know, in the political environment we're living, they are only catering to an audience of one, usually, these people. So it's good. It's cool. You know, they have to... And, you know, it's horrible because, unfortunately, how can I say this? You know, people that have not had the privilege of traveling and getting to know other cultures, you know, they protect themselves within their ignorance. Mm-hmm. So it's very frightening to walk if you haven't, you know, the knowledge of a grain of rice. Imagine jumping out of that. If you jump out of that, the world is overwhelming, man. Over fucking whelming. So it gets really frightening when you go outside of your comfort zone. So the only thing you can do is retract back to your knowledge, to your very limited knowledge that you have of the world, and just sit there very comfortably. And of course, surround yourself with people that think like you.
Right. You have a president that reinforces these notions as well. And it brings me back to Jane the Virgin.
Well, but they don't see it as such. They don't see it like that. They don't have the ability of seeing what the phrase you just used. They don't see it like that. It's like, you know, I love that he's honest. I love that he speaks his mind. But he's like, but his mind is toxic.
Right.
Exactly. But they don't see it as that. They just unfortunately, you have to have a lot of ¿cómo se dice esto? Oh my God, let me see if I can find the word. ¿Cómo se dice? Tolerancia. You have to need to have a lot of tolerance for you know, understanding that you know, poor guys, they don't know better. I mean, they don't know anything outside of their bubble. And coming out of their bubble is very frightening.
So how do you then explain the success of Jane the Virgin in an America that is the way it is now?
The demographics. Jane the Virgin appeals to a younger audience. And the younger you are, the more worldly you are, and the more you know about the world and about diversity and about acceptance and about the LGBTQ community and you know, embracing other cultures. You know, there was a—I don't know if it was a Time magazine cover or something—that showed our world like full of like carbon dioxide and rottening, and then that is like an eggshell that is breaking, and then you have a beautiful green and blue world emerging from that rotten shell, and it says the new generations, thanks to new generations, our planet has a chance.
Right.
So new generations, the CW caters to younger demographics, and younger demographics are a little bit more aware of of the concepts like empathy, mm-hmm. like moral compass, like ethic, you know, like ethics.
So you have the Super Bowl halftime with Shakira and J-Lo. You have on Netflix the expanding universe of Ashley Garcia that's coming up with Giancarlo Scanella and Paulina Garcia. You're going to be in a new CBS show, from what I understand, with Jennifer Snyder, correct?
Yeah, Jenny Snyder is my showrunner from Jane, and she's a good friend of mine. So we partner up, and we are co-producing this new 30-minute sitcom for CBS, along with Ben Silverman and Alex Hirschlag, who is responsible for Will and Grace. So the team behind it is amazing, and we were very lucky and honored to have an air date finally, April 2nd. So mm-hmm. we're gonna be on CBS on Thursday nights, and it's a very powerful comedy block for CBS because they have Young Sheldon, Men with a Plan, Mom, and ourselves with Broke.
Right. So now you have all of these new shows, people, more Latino actors being hired. You're a great representative and a proxy for this new movement of Hollywood accepting these new top-notch stars from the Latin market, but they're like new and fresh faces coming into the mainstream market. Do you think that that's here to stay, or is this just a fad that is coming and going?
It has to do with what you have to offer. Again, I think that the factors, I think very respectfully that you are concentrating on the wrong fact. You are focusing on the wrong factors. Like the fact that I'm from Mexico or that I speak with an accent should have nothing to do with the talent I bring on the screen.
And I totally agree with you, Jaime, but I also think that you might be misunderstanding me where I'm nitpicking
at that. Yes.
What I think, and see if I can clarify a little bit better. I myself am a Hispanic. I was born in New York, but my mom and dad are from Colombia, Barranquilla. So I'm bilingual. I can't be more bilingual than I am. But here's the thing. I worked at Univision in the newsroom, and I spoke Spanish for eight straight years, right?
That's a whole different beast. You're going,
it is.
We have to sit down and drink a coffee and talk about that at depth, because that's another whole universe.
So what happens is I've been studying for the last 20 years the difficulty of making the transition from Spanish to English. Because you have gatekeepers and ambassadors that are not comfortable with a foreign language or an accent or anything. Today, it just seems like those doors are slowly fading away. Yeah. And I think all of us as Hispanics in this country, I mean, why do you think J-Lo and Shakira were so adamant about making this a universal moment that Hispanics can bring the same level of excitement to America's top entertainment space as the Super Bowl halftime show, but we're all a little neurotic. We're all a little scared and almost abused by the fact that, well, is this just a moment in time or is this real?
No, this is definitely the result of years and years and years of paving the road of many people behind us, even Desi Arnaz, even back to the days of Desi Arnaz, and many, many entertainers and activists that have been paving the road to this moment. Yeah, it has been a freaking slow journey.
Right.
I mean, it has extremely slow. It could have been faster for sure, but we are taking the journey. And thanks to that, and thanks to all the sacrifices of many activists and other Latin American artists, mm-hmm. we had that halftime, that Super Bowl halftime show. That this is why I'm leading that, and I'm the number one on the call sheet on the CBS, on a CBS mainstream media primetime sitcom, 30-minute sitcom.
Which is a huge achievement.
But you know what I think? If I get stuck, I'll try to tell you in Spanish, porque soy mucho más elocuente en español.
No, pero tranquilo.
Es como nos preguntan de nuestros hijos, que dicen, oye, ¿cómo le dices a tu hijo los diferentes colores de piel y culturas? Y la respuesta es, no les decimos. O sea, no hay una diferencia. Para nosotros, cuando educamos a nuestros hijos, él es John, Jack, and Judy. It's not the Asian American Judy or the African American Jack. No, es... Viene de quizá somos un poco clueless, mi esposa y yo. Algunas personas podrían decir que inclusive maybe we're looking away, but in our mind, what we're doing is we are educating our kids without the concept of prejudice. Or
that's
racist.
A beautiful thing, because that doesn't really happen in America that much.
No, it doesn't. So I think that the more we have this kind of interaction with our kids, and the more we explain to them that we are all humans, and it's not about the color of your skin or where you come from or the language you speak, I think that's gonna, hopefully, that's gonna start to disappear. Of course, we're not even near that. Que eso pase, no? Mm-hmm. Pero that's at least that's our hope. What
right.
we hope for.
And changing topics really quick before we wrap up.
Yes.
This has to be one of the greatest moments that you're going through right now in your career. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. But I, you know, without a doubt, this is incredible, super exciting, having a CBS show, launching a mainstream movie. I mean, it is amazing. But, I also now, at 46 years old, now my achievements have to do with my family, with my kids, with my wife, you know, finding projects that will give me time to interact with them, to be a good father. My wife and I, we don't have nannies. We are very committed parents. So that's what life is really about, to be honest.
So what is the ultimate goal now, I guess, in this second act of your life? What is it that you want to accomplish that you maybe never got a chance to in the last 20 to 30 years?
Well, that's something that changes with age as well. I want to accomplish nothing. I want to live the now. I want to live like in a very mindfulness kind of way. Like, I'm here now. I'm doing the CBS sitcom. I'm going to do every single episode with love, with respect, for the audience, for myself, of course. Just live the now, because, you know, the future is so uncertain. Mm-hmm. And we had a very clear example a couple of days ago with the unfortunate accident of Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
The future is so uncertain, man, that just live the now, and whatever the now gives you and presents to you, just embrace it and develop it and with love and with sabes, o sea, entrégate en todo lo que hagas, entrégate con pasión. Haz un show de televisión como si fuera el último de tu vida.
Yeah.
Súbete al escenario como si fuera la última vez que lo vas a hacer. O sea, live your life, but live it now, because it's you know, no podemos, we cannot be wasting time with the past or with a future that we don't even know if it's going to be there.
Well, the name of the movie is called Píldoras de mi novio. It comes out February 21st, and it stars Jaime Camil, Sandra Echeverria, and a great cast that includes Brooke Shields and Jason Alexander. Jaime Camil, thank you so much for being on the Highly Relevant Podcast.
Hermanito, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Really, really, I really enjoy myself. Thank you so much.
And before I wrap up here, here are three Latin tracks you might want to add to your playlist this weekend.
Es así, si yo no tengo tus pesos, ya me puedo morir. Si tú te alejas de mí, ya no quiero vivir.
Si me dice que sí, Reik Farruko Camilo. Más, Fer Casillas, Jonah Camacho.
Si tú quieres, y si me pierdo en el intento, por ser un loco en el desierto.
Loco en el desierto, conociendo Rusias.
Créete para usarlo cuando quieras en mí. No me dejes, y si me pierdo en el
intento. That's it for episode 136 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. I want to thank Jaime Camil for dropping by the show. And if you like to support this podcast, please spread the love on social media and tell all your friends about it. You can reach me on Instagram at Jack Rico and my Facebook page at Jack Rico 40. Remember, it's only through your support that our show can grow. I'm Jack Rico. See you next week on another episode of Highly Relevant.